Thank you. So this is rather a break from what we've been listening to for the rest of the day. As John says, I work in the Department of Information Studies and I teach on the MA and publishing programme. I don't come from a library background. As I said, I used to work for publishing industry for many years before I joined UCL. I'm looking at how social media is being used in the publishing industry, but I thought it would make an interesting diversion to look at how social media is being used in libraries. So what I did last year between the months of July and August was gather social media data for 6 national libraries around the world. And that's really what I'm going to be talking about in the next few minutes. So like I said, the reason is I'm looking at how publishing companies are using social media, and this was a rather nice digression for me. Why use social media in the library? I just put this question in for myself when I was looking at this project last year. We're starting from a very nice point of view, really. A 2010 survey of chief librarians found that UK internet users trust library professionals more than any other provider of online support. Well, that may not be too surprising, it's done by librarians, but nevertheless, it gives it some context. And then for anyone seeking information, public library staff are the most trusted after doctors. So we're starting in a very good place for terms of using social media and reaching out, which is what the core work of librarians is all about. In a sense, libraries, publishers have always been technology businesses, organisations, have always been businesses of helping people with information retrieval. So using social media as an additional tool is quite a logical step, and libraries, of course, are early adopters. Now, this term library 2.0 is a rather disputed term, but this argues that the library of the future will be networked, collaborative, virtual possibly as well, and participative. So social media allows libraries to reach out, whether it's broadcasting information, responding to what's being said out there, so listening to the noise out there, and engaging with patrons and potential patrons. Just another point of social media and why is it important for us in the information world. You may not know, 22% of all time online is now spent on social media sites. So 1 minute in 4 is spent on social media. So this is not something that we can ignore. So people may think social media is no more than a daily me or mass self-communication, but we are spending an awful lot of time on it. We all do, some of us here as well. Now, is social media a waste of time? I put this question up as a controversial point, really, because the comeback from all that is, yes, but I don't have the time. We don't have the resources where I'm working. I can't do this. Well, everything takes some time and resource. So it's not a question of not getting involved. Everything takes some effort. But quantitative analytics in social media are very crude. The number of followers, retweets, likes really don't measure to any great effect our engagement with a community, penetration, how we're really getting our messages out. And this was brought back to me when I went to a seminar last year, and somebody talked about an example of a UK women's fashion, high street fashion retailer, high street retailer, and they wanted to increase the number of Facebook likes, and they had £5,000 to get 5,000 more likes. And they achieved that. So they run a competition. The prize was a flight to New York or Las Vegas, I can't remember. But if you looked at the data where those people came from, who then gave their details, of course, to be entered into competition, 70% came from outside the United Kingdom. High street retailer, UK. And then you look at the people who gave their names from the 30% remained, who were actually in the country, half of them were men. So one count, you've reached your target, you've got more likes, but actually the cost per acquisition of people who are going to spend money with you is really quite high. So they're very crude analytics. We have them. But what we're really looking for, I think, is perhaps something on a different level. It's about positive outcomes, what people are saying. What are people saying about our institutions that we really want to be delving into? So these are the libraries that we looked at. So the British Library, the Library of Congress, the National Library of Australia, National Library of Scotland, Bibliothèque Nationale de France, and the Spanish National Libraries. I also looked, but didn't include in my survey, other libraries like the Bodleian, other ones around the world, but I think this gives some indication of what libraries are doing on social media, and possibly there might be some interesting aspects to take forward. And I manually collected the data for 1 month between July and August last year. So what did we come up with? Well, the point is that we are dealing with high street, the household brand that we are familiar with. Everyone is on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Most of the libraries have blogs. And then I wanted to go a bit deeper as well and look at what other social media platforms libraries were using as well. So that's counted as other. So Flickr came out for all but two of the libraries. But I also was looking about for newer services such as Pinterest or Tumblr. There's really very little out there. But I think in a sense, we could be seeing a consolidation of social media platforms. I think perhaps these might be here even in 2 years' time. So this is what we have to work on at the moment. In terms of visibility, having social media buttons on home pages says you want to engage the people externally, but embedding them on every page as well goes that stage further. I also looked at whether libraries had a social media explanatory page. This is what we do on social media. So this is where you can find us. And an example of that is from the National Library of Scotland. But it just says this is where you can find us. It just says what our policies are, what we do on social media. None of the libraries had a dashboard which aggregated all their social media channels, which is quite nice whenever you visit a site to see what people are doing across all the different platforms. And also, in case you ever have spoof or fake accounts operating out there, it just confirms what the real accounts are. But generally, though, they're all visible and actively promoted. And like I said, some libraries actually had a sort of a policy page talking about their activity there. I'm going to talk about the different platforms in a bit more detail in the next couple of minutes. So starting with Facebook, which now has almost 1 billion users worldwide. Again, this is data for a month. So in this month, the British Library posted 35 times onto Facebook. And I've just got here the number of shares and the number of likes in that month. What stands out here, the Spanish National Library, far fewer postings, but an awfully high number of likes and shares. They had extremely rich content. All the libraries posted relatively rich content. The Spanish did it particularly well. People were using Facebook to promote events, exhibitions. Also, competitions were used by two of the libraries. And what we really saw was an integration between Facebook and Twitter. So that seemed to work well. Often, when I talk to publishing companies about Facebook, I get the impression it's often far more of a corporate activity and shop window, whereas Twitter is obviously far more personal. I just want to mention a competition run by the National Library of Scotland, which was very successful. This was called Scotland at the Cinema Bites, Strikes Back. And the National Library of Scotland asked people to Scottishify famous phrases from cinema. Now, I'm not going to put an accent on, but the one on the top left there, Houston, we're gubbed. You might be able to work out what that is in another tone. This got 2,000 people posting in comments, and they all were entered into a draw to get cinema tickets. So this was a nice way for a library to engage with the outside world. They weren't all so ambitious, though. The National Library of Australia got most of its likes from Cupcake Day at the library. So there was quite a variety. Twitter, for many organisations, Twitter is the de facto social media channel nowadays, and arguably it's the same for libraries. These are the followers, total followers, not followers gained for the month, I might just add. But the number of tweets, really, is what we're looking at here. In the 1 month, July to August last year, and then the number of mentions. So I don't know if those figures strike you as particularly high or low for major libraries. The point is, there was some really imaginative use in Twitter here. We had broadcast messages, people saying we're shutting early because there's engineering work, to really responding to people asking about what the library might hold, that sort of collection management aspect, I suppose, which was going on there. And then promoting or pushing people towards the Facebook site as well. Just some other imaginative ways that Twitter's been used, and I came across this. Orkney Public Library tweeted a book a day. And they did that 140 characters, they tweet one tweet a day, they tweeted an entire book, and that earned them the Golden Twitter Award in 2011. So the issue is you've got to think about, you know, who your audience is, what do they want to hear, and how are you broadcasting, what are you saying to people, what's the tone like? That's just what I pulled off last night from the British Library. Their Twitter feed, the image at the top, relates to an exhibition which is opening in a couple of weeks' time. And it's just a nice way to link back to what you're doing outside. The British Library also was very good at personalising their Twitter accounts. That seemed to work very well. So that's Twitter. I also looked at blogs, and all the libraries had blogs. The British Library has 17 blogs. And I know there's someone from the British Library here. And during this month, there were 52 posts, but very disappointing on the comments. Whereas others got a much higher success rate. The tone of the blogs differed quite a lot. Perhaps the most impressive, notable, the Library of Congress, they seem to give their librarians a very free rein on what they post, with the caveat that they are not the views of the library. The National Library of France had quite rich, they're more essay-like postings, but they had links out to other resources, which were quite useful. And the Spanish had longer essay-type posts as well. They all varied to some extent. I also wanted, well, that's just a screen grab of Library of Congress blog. I also collected data, which I haven't shown here, for YouTube, but I had to go back over 3 months because there was far less activity on YouTube. To build up any picture, you had to go back and collect more. And there were no real surprises of what's posted here. We had lots of videos of events, some videos of full morning of conferences. Others were talking to perhaps authors or visitors to the library, but the views were relatively low and probably therefore disappointing to the library. Flickr, as I said, was a popular channel, and it allows imaginative tagging as well. So tagging things in, like emotions, fear and hope, comes up, but works well. Just a point here about Flickr and sort of reuse, and many Flickr accounts restrict commercial reuse of the images. The Library of Congress Flickr images are Creative Commons and allow unrestricted use, and of course that will drive people to their Flickr page as well. But in terms of other more recent social media platforms, Tumblr, Pinterest, I found very little here at all. There wasn't much at all. Now, as I said, I think the social media platforms are solidifying, but possibly to do this again in a couple of years' time, we might find some of these have become more established and they might be on a social media homepage. In terms of any conclusions we can take from all this, libraries are pretty much in the same position as publishers. They're using the household brands that we're all familiar with. Overall use is patchy. I think everyone's learning their way. Social media used for many different purposes. We have that sort of marketing promotion, talking about what the institution's doing, broadcasting news, responding to people asking questions. What works well, from looking at particularly Facebook, is fresh, engaging content, good quality images. And the integration between Facebook and Twitter worked particularly well, was most impressive. Far less so than Twitter and YouTube or other platforms. And then finally, just a sort of a bugbear of mine, that social media is not free. And we hear this all the time, social media is free. Yes, of course it's free to set up an account. But anything after that costs time. And time costs money. And if you're going to populate social media well, that costs money. You need to populate it with some activity, some content. Where do we get that from? So what we have to do always is just balance. Find this balance between what people are expecting and what we can achieve. And I liked the presentation talking today about, early this morning, about the linked data and really talking about how people are all over the place. And what we have to do, as publishers or librarians, is be where people are who want to connect with us. And that's one thing that social media does allow us to. And on that note, I'll just thank you and ask if you've got any questions. Thank you.
Okay, a couple of quick questions if there are from the audience. Anything for Nick? Sorry, yes. Sharon Penfold, I'm the project manager for Bloomsbury LMS. Something I looked at last week in the context of review discovery was that there's a generational aspect to the way people want to interact with information and treat it. Is that something that's come up in your research?
From this, I couldn't say. From when I've been talking to publishers, I'm generally speaking to people who are younger than me. I think it's probably too much of a generalisation to say people who are older don't use. I mean, I met somebody last week in the publishing company who said, "I'm over 30, so I don't use social media," and I just don't think that's correct. I don't think that's correct at all. And I know many people who are far older than me who are very interested in social media. So it hasn't come up apart from anecdotally. I think if people are interested and engaged, we've got a duty to find them and they will be connecting.
I think I made this comment before when I went on to Facebook, my kids immediately got off it. I guess I found out what they were up to, I guess.
Well, see, I'm not on Facebook, my dog is.
Okay, Nick, many thanks for that.
Okay. Thank you.